I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. That old Johnny Cash and June Carter song, I'm Going to Jackson.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times, mainly for basketball season, but yeah.
Yeah, that's us. That's where we're going this weekend. Right. Pumped.
Woo.
Super pumped. Oh, no, it's going to be some good football. Glad to be there.
Cold.
Be glad to be gone when it's over. but anyway, it is what it is. Hey, everybody, welcome into the program. This is Prep Rally with Brad and Dylan. Here for the next few minutes to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Coming to you normally every Wednesday, just got caught up with some stuff yesterday, so this is why it's dropping on Thursday. But still plenty of time to listen to it before the football championships start on Friday. Just a reminder that you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com, and follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Mostly football today. We'll talk a little hoops, but let's just jump right into the football rewind from last week, the North Half Championships. Dylan, we had four teams advance. Let's start with Biggersville taking on the champs, and this was honestly the last result I expected, but props to Biggersville.
Yeah, well, we were both wrong.
Way wrong. Shutting out Nana Wyatt 26-0. Like, we weren't just wrong. We were bad wrong.
Yeah, I think
we predicted on the football show that they would lose.
I think I had Nana Wyatt with, like, two touchdowns or something on the show, too. So.
I think I did, too.
So, yeah, and Biggersville fans let me know about it.
Yeah, they did.
They let me know. They let you know on Twitter, you know, that we were wrong, and that, good for them. I'm, you know, pretty happy we were wrong. It's good to see Biggersville reach this point. But, yeah, man, that was as dominant of a performance as I've seen from them, obviously, all year long. I mean, that was the best team they faced, and 26-0 is – I mean, I guess the two-time defending 1A champs, that's all you can ask for. And that defense was just unreal. They held Nanawai to 142 yards of offense.
Wow.
The Warriors, we talked about all week, Austin Sanders, Tyquan McCauley for them, that two-headed monster running back that they have. And they looked good early in the first quarter, got it down to the down in the red zone there. And Biggersville got a turnover on downs at the 15. Next play, Zay Davis, 85 yards down the sideline for touchdown. And Biggersville went up 8-0, and honestly, that was the game. Just because Nanawa never made it back to the red zone, never even threatened to score from that point. So, I mean, it was just, you know, I wrote yesterday a little feature on the Eaton Twins, both on defense, and Goldman Butler plays defense. I like Biggersville has a ton of kids being 1A playing both sides of the ball.
Right.
And so the same kids that are successful on offense are the same ones that are on defense doing the same thing. And, 200-yard rushing performances from Zay Davis, Goldman Butler, both of them 2 touchdowns apiece.
Yeah, and Zay has not been really used at running back much at all this year.
Yeah, Biggersville did something a little different. You know, that they're down to their third string quarterback with Dylan Rousey, who's doing a good job stepping up. But you know, they're not asking him to throw just like they didn't ask his brother to throw really either. And against TCPS in the second round, they did a lot of wildcat quarterback with Goldman Butler, and when they did bring in Dylan Rousey, Butler just went straight back and, like, you know, to the running back, and that's just kind of how they did things with one of the Eaton Twins at fullback.
Right.
This week they kind of swapped it up and put Butler – or last week, I mean, against Nanawa, they swapped it up, put Butler at fullback. And he's 230 pounds, hard, he's a man to bring down. And then put Zay Davis, who's got more straight-line speed, more like, you know, hey, can bust the 85-yard type of run. And when Butler's lead blocking for him, Nanawa's linebackers and secondary, when they saw 23 running at them blocking for number one,
they didn't
want to get in the way of that train. So, and it worked. I mean, the guys were clearing out, and when kids were stepping in front of Goldman Butler, he was just pancaking them, and Zay Davis was just running all over him. So,
goodness.
And Biggersville, they do such a good job with clock control, and that's what they did the second half. And they weren't really worried about scoring touchdowns as much as just eating off 9-10 play drives and eating clock, and they did that to perfection. They executed as perfectly as you could, and that's how you have to beat state championship level teams, and that's how they got it done, man.
Yeah, and so Biggersville advances to play Lumberton on Saturday, isn't it?
Friday.
We'll preview that game in a minute. I was at the 2A North Final, East Union at Calhoun City. It went about as I expected. I expected Calhoun City to win, but I'll tell you what, give it up for East Union. They fought them tooth and nail.
Yeah, that was closer than I expected, honestly.
It kind of was, too. And, I mean, it was tied deep into the fourth quarter, and then Thomas Clayton caught a little bubble screen and raced 46 yards for the touchdown to put Cal City up with under 4 minutes left, and then the defense held after that. And I mean, just this kid, this one kid himself, Jerron Thompson, had three turnovers. He had, I think it was two picks and a fumble recovery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He, they're good at forcing turnovers. I don't think he'd had any all year before that game. I mean, it's just what Calhoun City does, man.
Yeah, they always have some kid out of nowhere, just like, hey, he's good too. So.
Yeah, I thought the Calhoun City defense did a really good job against Colton Plunk. You know, he's kind of a Goldman Butler type. He's a big back. Mm-hmm. People have a hard time getting him to the ground. He's put up, he's run for almost 2,000 yards this year, but they held him in check pretty much the whole game. He broke off one big run. They were backed up to their 1 yard line in the second half, and Colton busted loose for like a 64-yard run. So we ended up with, I think, 122 yards, according to my calculations, rushing. But more than half of those came on the one run. Other than that, it was like 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard. I mean, it was tough sledding for him. And, you know, Hayden Roberts is a kid who's really athletic and was able to give the Calhoun City defense a little bit different look. And he also had an 85-yard kickoff return for touchdown.
Yeah.
So that was huge.
That was right after City's first score, right?
Right.
Like, responds with that. So.
Right, yeah. So
that program, though, just, you know, we talked about Biggersville and where they're ascending to. The East Union's right there on that same level of starting in 2012 and being north half 8 years later. Like, you can't say enough good things about what they're doing.
Right. Jalen Artberry had two touchdowns for Calhoun City, one on the ground, one through the air. And Micah Fulgham had a 45-yard touchdown run in the third quarter for East Union to tie the game at 14. And then, as I said earlier, Clayton took that little screen pass, almost a lateral from Jackson Lee, and just found some space and raced to the end zone. So East Union finishes the really good season at 10-2. Calhoun City is now 10-2, going into the title game this weekend against Taylorsville. We'll talk about that in a minute. And real quick, also advancing from the area, West Point. What a surprise. Remember back midseason, we thought that maybe they were in trouble, lost two in a row.
LOL.
They've just been getting better since then. They beat Ridgeland with that great quarterback, Zion McDonald, beat them 29-22. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, they've been playing maybe more close games the last year or two, but they usually just still find a way to win, you know. Maybe not necessarily blowing teams out like they used to, but that doesn't matter. Win's a win. And then Oxford also winning, going down to Clinton, taking a 31-27 victory to advance to the 6A title game for a second straight year. Chargers trying to defend their crown. I think they had a couple of defensive touchdowns.
They had two, yeah.
Yeah.
Tristan Shorter, six.
And then Alex Sanford, I believe, returned a fumble.
Scooping score.
And that defense is really good at doing that kind of thing.
The linebackers.
Especially the linebackers, which I wrote about earlier this week. Right. Those two we mentioned, and Keegan Wilfong and a few other guys, the backups that help out. So, I mean, that group is unbelievable. I mean, Shorter has six picks. He's kind of a hybrid, so he's kind of and he's kind of built that way, you know. Not a huge guy, but he can play the pass, but he can, you know, play as a linebacker. But he's got six interceptions, four return for touchdowns. It's just insane. So, yeah, that defense, he was the only returning starter this year. Mm-hmm. But
well, and he's made an impact, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but they've looked pretty darn good with all these new guys.
Right.
So, yeah, Oxford moves on. And now I guess we'll look at this weekend's championship games. We got, again, four teams down there. We'll look at them in order of when they're played. We'll start with the 1A game, 3 o'clock on Friday at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Jackson. Biggersville taking on Lumberton. First trip to the title game for Biggersville. This is not known as a football school. Never has been.
Nope.
In fact, I put out did a little math yesterday, and I think it's going to be in my column tomorrow. But, like, over the past 4 years – Biggersville has been around at the football program since 1971. I think they've won 224 games in history. Mm-hmm. 19% of those wins have come the last 4 years. 50th year of the program, and Stan Platt is
you can't overstate it. I've
done an amazing job.
Can't overstate that, man. That's just the job. Him, Case Ingram there on staff, even guys before him, like Jeff Anglin, it's at Faulkner now,
right,
was at Biggersville the last couple of years and stuff too. Just, I mean, what they've built there, the culture that they've built, man, it's just, I'm not like super old, just seeing, you know what I mean, like, yeah, I'm,
right.
I just turned 26 like last week or something, so like, you know, when I was in school, man, Biggersville was just like, and football was just such an afterthought. Now, mm-hmm. Basketball, they won a state title my senior year.
Oh, yeah.
They were good, but But, man, like, their athletes just didn't care about football. They just went to the gym. And now it's man, that they still are good in basketball. They're going to be good again this year. But man, the way they bought into football from a community perspective, man, it's just insane. So.
Yeah, and now they have to face a Lumberton team that features Robert Henry, Mr. Football in 1A, for the last 2 years. Mainly a running back. They'll let him throw it some, too. But he's got 1,840 rushing yards, 27 touchdowns. And, you know, they handled those two guys from Nanawaya. So you got to think maybe they can hem in Robert Henry. I don't know.
I really think they can, man. I from what I saw with my eyes last week against Nanawaya on the road at Nanawaya, I think you know, this Henry kid's very good, but I think he's averaging 12 yards a carry right now. I just don't see him doing that against Biggersville. I really don't.
Yeah, that defense is really good. 6A game, 7 o'clock Friday night. Oxford going for the repeat, going to play Oak Grove again. Beat them last year, 31-21. In fact, this is Oak Grove's third consecutive trip to the 6A final. Still looking to they lost the last two, so they're trying to get some redemption here. We talked about the Oxford defense. I mean, they've created, I think, 33 turnovers, and I think the offense has only given the ball away like 13 times. So Oxford's got a plus 20 turnover ratio on the season. So they're 12-0. Oak Grove is 12-0. Should be a heck of a battle. Oak Grove, they've got a quarterback who's pretty good. He's thrown for almost 2,200 yards, 36 touchdowns, only 5 picks. That's a Cade Barnett, so only 5 picks. But Oxford, you know, again, I think they've got 16 interceptions on the year.
Yeah, there's been plenty of quarterbacks that's faced Oxford this year going into the game. Oh, I've only thrown 2 or 3 interceptions all year. And leave the game, and you're like, got 6 interceptions on the year because they beat you all 3 times.
So. I mean, Oxford, you know, they're not going to blow you away offensively. The running game hasn't been a huge threat most of the year.
Yeah, but they've picked it up in the playoffs. Omar Howell hit over 200 yards last week. That's the first 200 rushing yard performance in North half since like
2000. Maybe they've just been holding back. Time.
So yeah, and like, I'm trying to think if he's the sophomore or junior. I think
he's a junior.
Yeah, but like you know, still like you know, they found something in recent weeks, and that's usually what championship level teams do.
Exactly,
is figure out how to win the playoffs. You know, West Point. We talked about those teams, and Oxford's putting themselves in that situation. So this is going to be a really good game.
I think so too. 2A, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Calhoun City taking on Taylorsville. That's a football power, as is Calhoun City. They've both been to the state championship multiple times. I know Calhoun City. This will be the Wildcats' 12th trip to the state final. Taylorsville has been there, I think, just about as many times.
Yeah, I looked just a while ago, and it was like
be their 13th trip.
Well, I looked for Calhoun City, and this is their 6th state championship game in the last 15 years.
Yeah,
so.
And they won it in 2016. But, yeah, Taylorsville has this kid named Ty Keys. You've probably heard of him. Because over the last 4 years, he has put up, I mean, let's be honest, video game numbers, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, just ridiculous numbers. I got to talk about it a little bit in my Friday column, but let me just go over these for you, okay, so you have a good idea. Career passing yards, 14,338 over 4 years.
Convert that to miles.
I'm just kidding. I was told there would be no math. 152 touchdowns, and he can run it too. He's got 1,848 yards rushing with 21 touchdowns. So, I mean, the kid is just next level. He's going to – where is he going to next
year?
He's
committed to Tulane. That's right. Will Hall's departure to Southern Miss, there's some intrigue maybe that he stays in state.
He might be a good fit at Southern Miss. You know, Calhoun City, they don't really have a star player, and most years they really don't have a guy, at least not on the level of Ty Keys. I mean, sometimes they'll bring a guy through there that's at that level, like MD Jennings, the current coach he was, but they're just I mean, it sounds cliche, they're just a team, man. I mean, I mentioned the Thompson kid, they had 3 takeaways last week. I barely even knew who that kid was. When I thought about their defense, he wasn't the first guy to come to mind, okay? But he makes those 3 huge plays. And, you know, I mean, Jalen Artberry is a really solid running back, but he's not putting up Robert Henry numbers, for instance.
I was looking a while ago, looking through Kansas City stuff and just kind of preparing for the week. And I look back at last year's stuff with Calhoun City, and, man, like, Artberry had, like, 11 carries on the year or something. Like, Thomas Clayton was pretty much non-existent. Jackson Lee didn't get the start at quarterback.
He was
basically a backup the whole year. And so, like, you look, those 3 guys are, like, they're 3 playmakers on offense and things. And, like, It's just weird that, like, this is really their first years of getting to contribute, but that's kind of more of a testament to their program.
Oh, yeah.
Year after year of just being able to, well, we've got seniors this year and it's their turn. And yeah. And these guys are juniors that aren't even getting the ball that much, and they stick around and stick with it and play defense or do something else. And then it comes senior year, you know, and it's their time to shine. And like you see with Art Berry and Clayton this year, they're doing that. They're doing that.
Exactly. And that's how it was when MD played there years ago. And now, you know, he was on staff for a little while, and then he took over as head coach this past year. So it's like, you know, the continuity is just it's always there for Calhoun City. I mean, and that's how programs like that stay on top. So, yeah, that'll be the, again, the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. And then the 7 o'clock game, last game of the weekend, West Jones and West Point. So, yeah, as we said, they're still West Point. Mm-hmm. They beat West Jones 2 years ago.
Hashtag too much point.
Too much point. Mm-hmm. They've won 4 straight, 11 overall. If they win Saturday, that'll give them 12 state titles, most – in the state in history, because South Panola also has 11, but could break that tie with a win. And I think the Wave will win. They've been playing so much better since those two close losses midseason. And I got a little something on West Point coming out in Friday's paper. I talk about their defensive line and offensive line. They got so many guys on the defensive line. I mean, I went and did the math. They've got 32 sacks this year. 26 come from defensive linemen. That's kind of high.
When you don't have to blitz, when you can create pressure with just your front four or whatever defensive alignment they run, like, and you can send your linebackers and safeties and cornerbacks in coverage and sit them in zones and or play man.
Yeah.
Or whatever, man, that just – it does so much for defense. That's just simple football 101. Just, like, if you can win with four up front –
right.
And you're just, man, that's just really hard to beat. And when we talked about them beating Ridgeland last week, holding Ridgeland to 22 points. Like, I think they won the state title last week. It's really what
I think so, too. And I watched some highlights of that game earlier, and those defensive linemen are just blowing people up. And the quarterback was doing good just to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, and McDonald's a really good athlete.
He
can scramble and get away. I don't know exactly what West Jones' quarterback situation is, but –
Apparently, Chris Chambliss was telling me he does get rid of the ball quick.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have to.
He's prone to throw interceptions, though.
And that West Point's got the athletes on the back end, too.
Yeah, they got the McMillan kid. Mm-hmm. That's got a few.
If you give them the opportunities, they're going to make plays. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jaquarius Thomas at defensive end, 6'3", 230. You got Jalen Rush in the middle, 6'3", 300. And you got other guys that are like 5'9", 288, 5'10", 165. 6'2", 205. They got guys of all different kinds of sizes and abilities. So they're either going to run past you, run through you, whatever. I mean, there's no one way to defend them or for the offensive line to block them. And then on the other side of the ball, the offensive line has done really well. Even though Jamar Davis, their star tackle, got hurt. I didn't realize this, but he hurt his knee back in September.
Wow.
And so, but they're big up front there as well. And of course, you know, they opened up so many holes for that running game. They're averaging, I think, 313 yards on the ground this year, highest average since 2017. It's about 40 yards more than last year.
Mm-hmm. They got three different backs.
Jacoby Pate, Chris Ivey, and Cameron Young. Yeah, they've all are dangerous.
Young's having the best year of them all, but they're all three just equally, like, you know, coming into the year where Chambliss was telling us that, you know, he thought Jacoby Pate was the next breakout star.
Right.
And he's having a really good year, but there's two other guys in the backfield eating carries up too. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're loaded.
They are. So there you go. That is your preview of the state championships. 6 games in all, 4 involving our teams. Dylan and I will be down there to give you all the coverage you need from Jackson. So wish us luck and safety. let's talk some basketball for a few minutes. Ripley and Ingomar back on Monday. The Ripley boys finally got to play.
Finally.
Yeah, because of COVID and
they were in
whatnot.
Quarantine. Yeah.
So, and they they look pretty good, didn't they?
Yeah, they you know, it's certainly a different team from last year's Ripley team that made the 4A semifinals. They lost 6 seniors off that team, losing Jesus Rudez, Asa Howard, guys like that that this whole area has come to know those names. But they still have their calling card in this defense, and that's what Adam Kirk teams do. It's what Jonathan Ashley teams do too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Kirk's from Ingomar too, so they've all played under Norris Ashley, and he's apparently got a lot of influence on basketball coaches around here. So, man, it was really just a defensive battle, and, you know, Ingomar went in. But they had a 13-point lead there in the second quarter. And, you know, of course, Ingomar's still playing without Zach Sugars,
right?
Who's supposed to be cleared next week to start playing next week. So, and I think he'll get cleared. He looks like he's moving around pretty good. And so, you know, Ingomar will be a different team when they get him.
Right.
But, you know, they got it 13 there in the second quarter. Ripley battled back, cut it to 3 right before half. And third quarter, Ingemar comes out, starts shooting the ball well again. Eli Reed hits two threes in the third quarter there for them, and Aiden Johnson, you know, had 11 in the first half. So Ingemar's got shooters on the floor that was helping them build those types of leads, but got up 10, and Ripley, that fourth quarter, started going full court press with just man defense, and it worked. Ingemar kind of just crumbled down the stretch. Jonathan Ashley was telling me after the game, he said, "I felt like my kids were playing not to lose, playing scared to lose." And, and he said, you know, we're kind of young and inexperienced in that way with some of those ball handlers.
And that's where you miss a guy like Sugars who can kind of take control of that situation.
Exactly. And so Ripley outscored Ingemar 29-13 in the fourth quarter. Mm. And basically, like, Ripley had a very hard time scoring in half-court offense. Everything was steals, transition, layups, and that's how they got it done. And you know, it was a lot of it's Ripley was depending on two seniors, Alex Prather, Centavious Hunt. That's their two most experienced kids. They're playing a ton of freshmen and sophomores this year. It's never played.
Yeah.
It's a different year for them. So Centavious Hunt's one of those seniors, and he had 21 points, 17 in the second half. So, and Albert McDonald, new Albany transfer there at Ripley, he had all 11 points of his was in the second half too. Alex Prather finished with 13. So they had some balanced scoring, different things, and most of it was in the second half based off their defense. So that's – when you play Ripley, surprise, you're going to get a defensive team again. So that's just how they are.
What was the final again?
64-58. My bad. I mentioned I always do that.
That's okay. Then I saw a girls game. Saw a pretty good one Tuesday night. It was Kossuth up at Neusite, a couple of our ranked teams. Kossuth, number 7, Neusite. Number 6, 50-49, Neusite pulled out the win. It was close pretty much the whole way. It was a tough shooting night for Neusite. In fact, they could not get really anything to fall. Hannah Campbell, you know, their star player, comes in averaging around 20 points a game, and she had trouble getting any shots off in the first place, and then she just had trouble making shots as well. So it was a tough night for her and the other perimeter shooters, but Lily Whitley in the post took up the slack.
She can go.
She can play, man. She ended up with 22 points and 10 rebounds. Heck of a game for her. You know, double-double, I mean, heck. I mean, she accounted for 44% of their points. I can do that kind of math.
Hey.
22 out of 50, that's easy. Campbell was held to 5 points, shot just 1 of 11 from the field. I don't have the three-point shooting numbers in front of me for a new site, but they were not pretty. Probably don't want to put that on the air. It was not good. But anyway, Whitley just working in the post, getting putbacks, rebounds, and when they got the ball into her, Kossuth didn't have the size to really do much with her. She was able to pretty much turn and get her shot, and she ended up making 9 of 11 from the floor.
They graduated their size from last year. Kossuth did, but they're still. I know they didn't have Coach Angel Malone there.
Right, she was not there. A family matter, but there's Kossuth's gonna be fine. Zoe Essery,
they still.
It's good still.
Malone and her staff, you know, like they always derive a really good defensive plan. I've seen them over the last couple years,
and they created a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, if you have a perimeter player that you rely on to score, they know how to take that away.
Mm-hmm. I've seen him do it to Macy Walker.
They did it to Lauren Elliott last year.
Yep, Lauren Elliott. And they did it to Hannah Campbell. Exactly.
When you have a perimeter player, you know, like that, they can derive a plan to take them out of the game, and you're going to have other players step up. And fortunately for Neusite, you know, they got Lily Whitley in their back pocket, and she can do it.
I will say I was also impressed with the play of Caitlin Bumpus for Kossuth. She seems a little even better this year, and she was all over the place. So, but a good win there for Neusite, 50-49 over Kossuth. Let's move on real quick. Your COVID updates. Still got a lot of teams in quarantine, but we've had several coming out of quarantine this week, Dylan. Thank goodness. Like, I think Blue Mountain is coming out. We've got East Union boys I know are out. Faulkner girls are out. Hamilton boys, Hatley girls, Ingemar boys, Ingemar girls in quarantine till the 14th. Obviously, the Kossuth girls are out of quarantine. I just talked about them. But we still got some teams. Like I said, like Vardaman's boys right now are out for a little while. Actually, I had a coach call me earlier today. He was like, man. Yeah, because the game he was supposed to play this week got canceled because the other team had COVID. And he's like, I'm trying to find somebody that's not in quarantine that I can play to add to my schedule. And he couldn't find anybody. So I feel your pain, man, because there's so many teams.
Unless it's a scenario where you're like a 1A school and you don't want to see that 5 or 6 day school down the road that's like a close trip. But you're just,
Well, this is a good, really good school.
That's a different story. Yeah, but
yeah, they'd be fine, whoever they play, probably. So anyway, that's your update. And by the way, Amory Boys and Girls also out this week. Might be back next week. Okay. Let's do this week's shout-out. We give it to Mia Griffin, the volleyball player for Alcorn Central. She was a Daily Journal Volleyball Player of the Year in 2019. She has committed to ICC to play volleyball, that newish program over there in Fulton. And Mia is a heck of a player and a good kid, too. So it's a real good, I hate to say the word get, because that's what recruiting people say, and it's not even a proper use of the word.
That's what was in my head. So
anyway, they got a good one. Put it that way.
That's a good program starter.
Yeah. That's the wrap it up with Athletes of the Week. Female Athlete of the Week is Emma Reeder, a freshman for Oxford's soccer team. She pulled a hat trick, got three goals in a 5-3 win over Tupelo on Tuesday. Well, that's a good win for Oxford, beating Tupelo. And three goals for the freshman, Emma Reeder. Male Athlete of the Week, another freshman, Caden Howell of Wheeler Basketball. He had 26 points, knocked down 6 3-pointers, also had 7 rebounds and 4 assists in a 58-50 win over Jumpertown on Tuesday. So Caden Howell of Wheeler, another freshman.
Mitch Howell, son.
That is his son.
Freshman, yes, sir.
Yeah, the last name. No, I just didn't register with me.
Yeah, he...
And also, I don't think of Mitch as being old enough to have a kid that age, but I guess he is.
He doesn't even look like a freshman. He's very tall, and he can play. He's very, very good. So.
Well, Mitch was pretty good back in the day, too.
So it's in the blood. So.
Yeah, it is, definitely. All right, that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, you can find us on iTunes every week or any of your podcast apps. Find us online as well, preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter, at djournalpreps. Dylan's on there, at DylanBarnesDJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke, and we will talk to y'all next week after our adventures in Jackson.